I'm in Psalms 22, and there's so much in this psalm. I'm going to read about 20 verses of it, but if we had time, we'd read it all and try to preach it, but we can't get all of that this morning. If you'll give me about 30 minutes or so, the Lord being my helper, we'll give you the burden of our heart. Verse number 1 in your King James Bible, Brother David said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and am not silent. I think that is a picture of him crying from 6 in the morning till noontime, and then crying in the dark from the 6th hour, which would have been noon, unto 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But anyway, he cried in the night, and he cried in this day. Verse number 3, but now art thou holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered, they trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouth as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all of my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Would you ask God to help me, please? Father, I love you. Thank you for your precious word. Lord, I love it. I know this scripture is holy ground. And Lord, we could take off our shoes this morning as we approach under the message that we find in Psalms 22. I'm aware I need you, so I pray that you give me unction and liberty and power to preach the word of God. And I pray, Lord, every heart would be attentive and be receptive to the word this morning. We know men are begotten by the word, being born again of the incorruptible seed of the word of God. And I pray that word would fall into some fertile ground today. Souls would be saved. We'd get whatever we need out of the services this morning. And we'll love you and thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the 22nd Psalm is some of the most precious scripture in all of the word of God. It, like I prayed, it is holy ground. I think a man would have to be willingly ignorant. Brother Peter said in 2 Peter, then chapter 3, I think I looked it up last night, about verse number 5, he said, this they are willingly ignorant of. And I believe a man would have to be willingly ignorant to not see the picture that God has painted through the pen of David in Psalms 22. It's a picture of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we had time to go through, which we don't, I want to try to get to the meat of my message, the Lord being my helper. But you can go through this psalm and you find the Son of God being crucified. And if you'll notice with me three or four things, and I'll try to give you my 3 points. I'm probably not going to be able to get down that far this morning. But here's my title for the message, if you'll notice verse 1 and 2. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Verse number 2, O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. I'm going to preach for a little while this morning on the cry of the crucified. The cry of the crucified. The Bible said in verse number 2, and you don't have to believe that this is a picture of the crucifixion of Jesus, but I'll be honest with you, I believe if you'll give me your attention for about 30 minutes, I believe I can convince you that this is a story, a picture inspired by the Holy Spirit of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Preacher, why do you say that? Well, if I had time, if you'll notice three or four verses, look at verse number 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Out beside of the my Bible, I wrote Matthew 27:46. Those are the very words that Jesus uttered when he was on the cross of Calvary. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but the 22nd Psalm was penned down 1,000 years before Jesus ever came into this world and died on Calvary. But through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Brother David penned the very words that Jesus would utter when he was on the cross of Calvary. He spoke 7 times. I'm not going to get into all those 7, but I do want to show you one of them in just a moment. But verse number 1, my God, the very words that Jesus said was fulfilled in Matthew 27:46. In verse number 6, he said, but I am a worm. You don't have to run all these references, but that was fulfilled in Isaiah 41 and verse number 14. And then 6b, the Bible said he was despised, if you'll notice there, despised of the people. And I could quote a lot of Isaiah 53. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. So that's 3 of them that were fulfilled when Jesus was crucified. In verse number 7, the Bible said they laughed and they mocked him. That was fulfilled in Mark chapter 5 and verse number 40. At the house of a ruler of the Jews, a ruler of the synagogue by the name of Jairus, and he had a 12-year-old daughter that had been taken in death. And Jesus said, she's not dead, but only sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, fulfilling what God had said 1,000 years prior. Amen. And then verse number 9, the Bible said that he that took me out of the womb. Jesus came into this earth, born of a virgin. God took him out of the womb. You can read about that in the Psalms, other places, and you can read about it in Luke chapter number 2. The virgin womb gave birth to the Son of God as God removed him from that virgin's womb. And then I like verse number 16, if you'll look there, and I'll get to my message in just a moment. Verse number 16 said, dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hand and my feet. I don't have time to enlarge on that, but they pierced his hands and his feet. That was fulfilled in Zechariah chapter 12 and chapter number 13, verse 6 and 5 in that area. They pierced his hand and his feet. And I could get a fight started, I guess, if I wanted to enlarge on that, but I won't. Look at verse number 18, and I'll get to my message. In verse number 18, the Bible said, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. We pray about they gambled for the robe that he wore. They said, it's of one piece, let's not rend it, but lest we ruin it. And so the Roman soldiers begin to cast lots and bet and gamble over the robe that Jesus wore. And they didn't know, but they were fulfilling what God had penned down in this blessed holy book 1,000 years earlier. I've got good news for you, and I don't have time, and you don't have time this morning. There are 33 of those in these 31 verses, preacher. There are 33 prophecies concerning the crucifixion, the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. 33 of them in these 31 verses, and we don't have time. I just gave you 7 of them, and 7 ought to be enough to persuade us. Amen. If the Bible's true, and I believe it is, in verse number 2, he said, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. in verse number 1 again, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me?" I want to preach for a little while on the cry of the crucified. In verse number 1, notice his cry was a cry for help. But the Bible said he was unhelped because God did not hear. The Bible said, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me?" If we had time to go back to Matthew chapter 26, you would find that Jesus said, "Cannot I call more than 12 legions of angels to come and help me?" But he did not call 12 legions of angels. And I looked that up. Different writers disagree what a legion is, but it's somewhere between 3,000 and 6,000 Roman soldiers that are in a legion. And so Jesus could have called 72, 80,000 angels, and they could have come and helped him and set him free. But he did not call them because he came to go to Calvary and bleed and die that we might be saved by the grace of God. He is unheard. Preacher, why didn't God hear him? Well, look at verse number 1. The answer is in the verse, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" God did not hear him because God had forsaken him. And there the pastor mentioned about some discussion that preachers get into in verse number 1. But you rest assured Jesus was forsaken of God the Father on the cross of Calvary, and I'm going to tell you why, and that'll be the meat of my message this morning. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Bible said, "God the Father, he hath made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." At Calvary, the Father took the sins of the world in the garden, as a matter of fact. He placed those sins upon the Son of God. I think that's where his heart melted, and neighbor, the blood began to ease through the pores of the skin, and as great drops of blood, the sweat dropping down to the ground, I think the heart of Jesus was crushed in the garden, and his prayer there was holy ground. I don't have time, but here's what happened at Calvary. Jesus took my sin and your sin and the sins of the whole world, and the Bible said he tasted death for every man, and he bore those sins up Calvary's hill, laid down on the old rugged cross. They nailed his hands and his feet and pierced his side with a spear when they had lifted him up between heaven and earth. And the Bible said in that text, "All of my bones are out of joint." Jesus died on the cross of Calvary as a sinner. Would you listen to me? He is dying separated from God. And you that are here this morning, listen to me preach. If you continue to neglect the opportunity to be saved by the grace of God, and you put it off and procrastinate and push it out unto some other Easter or some other day in the future, you're going to wait too late. Are you listening to me? "Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Today's a day of salvation. Get saved today. Trust what Jesus did at Calvary and let him save you by the grace of God. Amen. Jesus was forsaken that we may never be forsaken. Amen. God will never forsake me because Jesus had been forsaken for me. Are you listening to me? Notice what he said in verse number 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He that knew no sin became sin, that we might be united with God. He was separated from God. You got my picture? The crucifixion was a picture of a man dying in sin without any hope. You leave this world, neighbor, with your sin upon you, and you'll die forsaken of God in the region of the damned. God will never be able to help you. And verse 2 said he'll never hear you. I know folks that say, "Well, if I miss the rapture, I'll call upon him after that." I beg to differ with you. I believe you'll believe a lie and be damned after the rapture, and you don't want to wait. Those not just to what you're going to do tomorrow. Get saved today. Amen. Don't put it off another day. I'd walk this aisle. Preacher will be preaching a little bit. Come to Jesus, the foot of the cross, and let him save you by the grace of God. We see the Savior, and he's unhelped. He was unhelped that God can help us. He's the succorer, and that's an old English word that means he's our helper. And he'll help you. Some of you got problems this morning, and they're bigger than you are. You don't know what you're going to do with them. Do what I did with mine 57 years ago. I brought them to the foot of the cross, Brother Daniel, and I cast them upon the Son of God, and he took every one of them upon his shoulder and kissed my sins away and saved me by the grace of God. And I have enjoyed the trip for 57 years. Amen. I tell you this morning, verse number 1, Brother Jim, says he was unhelped. Verse number 2, I cry in the daytime, I cry in the nighttime, but thou hearest not. Why was he unhelped? Because of sin. Why was he unheard in verse number 2? Because, neighbor, there's a gulf of separation between him and the Father, like in Luke chapter number 16. I had a preacher call me this past week, and he said, you preached at Galilee Baptist Church about 30 years ago. He said, you remember what you preached? I said, well, I'm not sure. I preached a good bit over there. He said, you preached with Dr. Ed McAbee, and he preached on fit for the fire. He said, who was that? I said, that was Dr. Ed McAbee. He said, do you know what you pray? I said, yeah. And when I followed Ed McAbee, I did. I said, I preached on the Great Gulf Crisis. That was during the Gulf War. My son will tell you what the date is. I don't know if it's 20 or 30 years ago. 30? Well, that's pretty good. Amen. He's got dates in his mind. It's weird. I mean, remembers all weird stuff. Unhelped in verse 1, Brother Matthew. Unheard in verse number 2. Some of you are going to wait. Well, I'll get saved in the end. You must be a free will Baptist. They'll pray for 30 minutes and say, Lord, save me in the end.
He's right.
Which, yeah, I got saved in the end, but I got saved on the front end.
Amen.
Some of y'all going to wait and get saved on the back end. You're going to wait too late. Matthew 25, he's going to come like in the midnight hour, and they're going to cry. He's going to lift a church out of this world and shut to the door, and folks will run in there and beat on the door and say, Lord, Lord, open to us. We've done this, that, and the other. And he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. The door will be shut. The door of salvation was opened up at Calvary when Jesus bled and died there for my sin and for your sin. And that door is still open today, and you can get in. John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Amen. And so the door's open today. Come to the Savior and get saved by the grace of God. Here's the meat of my message, if the Lord will help me. Why did Jesus have to be crucified? Why did he get in a state where he said, thou hast forsaken me? Why did he get in verse number 2 and say, thou hearest me not? You didn't hear me. He's unhelped. He's unheard. Well, here's what God gave me, and there's some good preachers would disagree with me, and I've gotten so old, Brother Billy, that don't bother me one bit. Amen. I still believe what I believe, and I'll believe it when I die if God don't show me something different. Notice what he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus spoke 7 times. That's recorded on the cross of Calvary. Got a Bible scholar over here. Seth, you remember the first one? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Here's Josephus sitting over here on this pew. You know what the last one was? Just think a little bit. It'll come to you. It is finished. He said, into thy hands. Into thy hands. Here's what I'm looking for. The first one, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The 7th one, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Father, did you notice Father? You know what the 4th one is? It's in your text. My God, why hast thou forsaken? That's number 4. 3 on each side, whosoever wills and whosoever wants. The 4th one, Brother Van, he changed what he was saying at the beginning and changed what he was different from what he ended with. He called him Father the first time he spake. He called him Father the last time he spake. when he had the sins of the world upon his back and was there in the middle of the two thieves, one on either side, one dying in sin, one dying to sin, and Jesus dying for sin. And here's what he said, Brother Seaver, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Let me tell you why he forsook him. It's the meat of my message. His Father became his God when he became sin and took the sins of the world upon his back. His Father became his judge and became his God and dropped the gavel down and said, guilty of love in the first degree. Amen. And Jesus died on the cross of Calvary because of my sin and your sin. When God judged him, I was judged in Jesus. The Father now, since he's judged Jesus, the Bible said, the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. The reason for that is Jesus was judged for all of us, and God don't have to judge us. Are you listening to me? He died on the cross of Calvary. God was his judge. He entered the courtroom of God's holiness, and the Father seated on the throne of heaven, and as his judge, he judged the Son of God and found him guilty of what you were, found him guilty of what I was, found him guilty of what you are, found him guilty of what I am, and the Son of God took all that sin upon him, and the Father condemned him to death, and he had to die. Are you listening to me? The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life, but thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus became sin on the cross of Calvary, and God judged him and said, you're guilty, and he bowed his head on a breathless chest and died that we might have life and have it more abundantly. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, in verse number one, he's unhelped. In verse number two, he's unheard. Look at verse number six quickly. I am a worm. I drew a line from verse six back up to verse number three. But thou art holy in verse number three that I am a worm. Why was he unheard? Why was he unhelped? Why was he unholy in verse number six? God could have said, David could have pinned down, I am a dog. I am a lamb, I am this, I am the God's got a good stockyard in the Bible, Brother Michael. But Jesus said through the inspired pen of David, he said, but I am a worm. Now if you had time to study the worm, and I hope maybe you will sometime, the worm has no skeletal system. It is the lowest of God's creation. One of the lowest of God's creation has no skeletal system. And God said, when you offer me an acceptable sacrifice, it has to come without blemish, and not a bone shall be broken. I looked that up in, I think it was Numbers again last night, also in the book of Leviticus. Not a bone of him shall be broken is what the prophet penned down. And Jesus became a worm, and that worm could be crushed, and neighbor not have any broken bones. They broke their legs. Brother Preacher preached on it a night or two ago, a day or two ago. He preached on the thief on the left. He died. He was there. He was still gasping for breath. The death on the cross was a death of suffocation. If I die, I hope I don't suffocate to death. I nearly drowned a time or two in my life, and that's another story. And I'm not an evangelist, so I'm not going to get into evangelistic tale and tell you I went down three times and come up drier than I was when I went down. I'm not going to get into that. But I'm telling you, Jesus was dying on the cross of Calvary. Not a bone could be broken. They broke the bones of the legs of the thief on the left. They broke the legs of the thief on the right. But they're going to break the bone legs of Jesus and let him suffocate to death. But the Bible said, preacher, he was already dead. And the Bible said he made his death with the wicked and with the rich in his death. He died between two thieves that had been wicked and was buried in a rich man's tomb. Do you know those were pinned down 1,000 years before they ever happened? Isaiah, they said, is despised and rejected man. Isaiah was written over 700 years before Jesus was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. You've got an inspired Bible. It's more up to date than the Asheville Times or whatever the paper is here, or the Greenville News, whatever it might be. Your Bible is up to date. It tells the past, it tells the present, and it tells the future. Jesus' Father became his God and found him guilty. And I like to say love in the first degree. It was love that held him to the cross. Men fuss and fight and argue and disagree and split churches and break up fellowship, whether the nail was in his wrist or whether the nail was in his hand. I can't hardly preach and leave that alone. But the nails didn't hold him there. It was love that held him to the cross. He could have stayed there without a nail anywhere, but it had been prophesied they pierced his hand and his feet. So, and I'm a country boy, but I know the difference between my hand and my arm. And I'm not picking on them, PJ, but here is sin nailed to the cross, and I'm a sinner. And so the reason he did, I could slip up to the foot of the cross through the eye of faith, and neighbor, my sins were cast upon him, and God forgives me through the precious blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. Salvation is so simple. If you believe that Bible, you can leave here this morning and swing out over hell on a rotten sweet tater vine and sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me. I am not going to hell because the Bible said I'm not. You're not going either, are you, Jake? You going with me? Well, I'm getting ready to check out of here, amen. Are you listening? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Don't live a life of doubt. And I'm not cocky and I'm not smart and I'm not a smart aleck, but I'm telling you, I know I'm saved. Yes, why? Because the Bible says I am. Amen. I knew I was a sinner. I knew Jesus died for sinners. I asked him to forgive my sin and save me, and he did exactly what he said he would do. He was unheard. He was unhelped in the 22nd Psalm, verse 6. He was unholy. He became a worm. Here's what I have read. That worm was, if I had the name written down, I could tell you what the Hebrew was, but it's a coccus worm. It's a burgundy-colored worm, and they crush that worm, and the secretion that comes from that is a burgundy-looking fluid that comes out, a red type of fluid, which is a type of the blood of Jesus. He was wounded for our transgression, and the blood flowed from his hands and his feet and his side and his brow, and from that back where the bones stared out one at another. And that red blood take a black sinner, make him white as snow. Amen. Preacher, can you explain that? I can't explain how my black cow eats green grass and gets white milk, but I sure do enjoy it. And I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins, saved me by the grace of God. He was unheard. He was unhelped. He was unholy. And the Bible said there in the latter part, I think of verse number 6, that he was despised. He was unwanted. Why in the world would anybody sit in a service on Easter morning? We recognize the resurrection. I probably get Jesus to do deep in the tomb. I hope preacher can get him out after a while. Amen. But he died a terrible death on the cross of Calvary, if you let me use that word. He did that despised. They despised him. They hated him. My wife, as we were sitting at the table two or three mornings ago, whenever it was, and her iPad, we usually listen to the news and the weather, and they had on there a group of college kids somewhere in a gymnasium or an auditorium. Looked like it's several hundred of them in there screaming and hollering and a ranting and a raving. And they took a King James, they took a Bible, Brother Daniel, and they tore that Bible up and they threw it in the trash can. That's the day we're living in. They despised him because of who he was and because of what he was and because of what he said and because, neighbor, what he stood for. And they despise the church today, whether you realize it or not. There's a persecution coming that we better get used to it, all right, and I got to hurry. But he was despised. I, for alliteration's sake, I call that unwanted. And I could quote most of Isaiah 53 to you. I don't have time to do that. But he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Why wouldn't anybody want him? I don't know what your problems are this morning. I don't know what you need, but I'm telling you this. We have got one that's bigger than any problem you've got. The older you get, I've gotten old. I ain't as old as some people think I am, but I've gotten old. Amen. My doctor loves Jesus and loves the Lord and believes the Bible. But anyway, he said, "Preacher, you know what the Bible says about 80? I said, "Yes, sir, I do." If you'll live 70, that's 70. But said, if by chance you lived 80, it'll be labor and sorrow. He said, "You have entered into the labor and sorrow." I said, "Amen. I'm laboring and I've got sorrow because I've gotten old." Let me ask you this. Do you know anybody that God healed? Some of you got aches and pain. You're praying for God to deliver you. You just got old. What's your problem then? Does he heal anybody from old age? I'm glad I'm alive. Now, I may be aching and hurting, had a towel wrapped around my neck and icy hot and icy cool and ice and everything else, trying to get to where I could preach this morning. But I don't think the Lord's going to heal us from old age. He can heal you from old age, take you out of this world and take you on home to be with God. I'm going to heaven, but I don't want to go on the next load today. I'm going to stay here and aggravate somebody. I asked my wife coming up here, I got to quit. I asked my wife coming up here, I said, "You got any hand lotion?" Tammy said, "I have, Dad." So I got it rubbing on my hand. I said, "There'll be so many people wanting to shake my hand after I preach. I want to be soft and smooth." Are you listening? I'm in the 22nd Psalm for you that just came in. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He is forsaken, so you won't never be forsaken. Amen. He was unheard so that God can hear you. Do you know what the Bible said in John 9:31? We know that God heareth not sinners. Now, I'm not going to argue with that. If you want to argue with that, argue with the pastor. He's the one asking me to preach. We know God heareth not sinners, John 9:31. But if a man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Some of you are not getting your prayers answered because he don't know you. Listen. Unholy so I could be holy. Unheard so I could be heard. Unwanted so God could want us to be saved by the grace of God. I hope you'll trust him today. We're going to do whatever the pastor's got in store for this next few minutes. But the crucifixion of Jesus, naturally speaking, and I was in law enforcement for several years, the crucifixion of the trial and the crucifixion of Jesus was the greatest miscarriage of justice that has ever been. Innocent from the cradle to the grave till it became sin for me and for you. Don't leave here unwanted, unhelped, and unheard, and unholy. Let Jesus help you today. Pastor, thank you.